Good to see everybody today. Rainy week, but smiley faces inside here, so we've enjoyed the opportunity to see what it's like to have a rainy season this year, so a lot of rain. But I guess you've had an opportunity also to enjoy some sports. The Super Bowl last weekend, the fourth. And then now the opportunity to see the Olympics, a lot going on, so I'm sure you can find TV time from time to time to at least see what's happening. I know we're starting a new year in a sense. We're already into February, but most of you have made plans for this year. Begin to look at the things that you would like to do and what you're looking forward to accomplish for the year. And we all have things that we look forward to, and so we should plan those things in our plans for the year. You may have family get-togethers, vacations. Certainly plan for the feast. You can see we're already planning for the feast. We have Sabbath days and special get-togethers. All of those are enjoyable and should come into our planning process. Sometimes we're forced to look at the requirement we got to buy a new car, or we have a desire for a new home, and we've been looking forward to that, and we're about to be able to take that on in the coming year. These things are things that are enjoyable, and a lot of them are physical and certainly good and enjoyable to participate in. And so we do that planning. But as Christians, there's some spiritual planning we need to do as well. Well, we're encouraged to look forward to the promises and the plan that God has laid out for mankind, to plan for the future as Christians, as those that are called by God for His purpose. Do we do this planning with real desire because we see the need? One of the things that we look forward to is indeed the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures the return of Jesus Christ to bring peace and safety and hope to all mankind. So do we, with a real desire, have the faith in our minds continually and planning for that time, because it is very badly needed. Let's look at Timothy, the fourth chapter, and let's look in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. It says in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." So this is Paul knowing that his time for his time on earth was about to end. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing." So do we, too, look forward to and love God's appearing, desiring God's intervention to put an end to the things that we see in this earth today. A crown of righteousness is laid up for those that have that attitude and that frame of mind and desire in their lives. So we should be looking forward in faith to the time of His appearing. We know there are going to be tumultuous times ahead, but we should be able to look past that and have hope and faith and encouragement to look to the end and what God has in mind. Of course, back in Luke, let's look at chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. I'll get there in a minute. Luke 9:57. Now, it happened as they journeyed on the road that some said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell with whom are of my house." And Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So the desire should be that we are looking forward to the kingdom of God. We're involved in preparation for that time. As Christians, set apart to be his disciples at this end time age. So Christ told us to put our hands to the plow, to look forward and encourage others in the understanding of this way by our example and the way we conduct ourselves. You know, the return of Jesus Christ is one of the basic fundamental beliefs of the Church of God, a worldwide association. I'd like to read to you what it says. This is belief number 19 out of 20. It says the return of Jesus Christ to earth. At the end of this present age, evil age, Jesus Christ will visibly return to the earth to establish the kingdom of God and to reign forever and ever, beginning with a 1,000-year period commonly called the millennium. He will sit upon the throne of David, ruling all nations as King of Kings and serving as high priest to all who recognize him as Lord and Master. As prophesied, he will also, at this time restore all things and establish the kingdom of God forever. So this is what we as Christians, God's servants, those of us that are called as first fruits, look forward to. This is our belief. This is our commitment. The determination that we have set out on, the journey that we have set ahead of us, to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and to prepare the people that are in this earth with the good news. So most people in the world today don't share that belief. Would you believe that? That Jesus Christ will literally come back to the earth and be here and rule for 1,000 years. One source that I looked at said, of those that profess to be Christians, only 30% of those profess as Christians to believe that Christ will return to this earth. So we're so unique in that regard, being among those that believe in the return of Jesus Christ. You know, when I was a young boy, that's been some time ago, when I was a young boy, I went to church, a local church, and one of the things that they said was the Nicene Creed. And at the end of that creed, I believe is the way it goes, it says, "And a world without end." In other words, they're looking forward to a time when this world will continue in the state that it's in. But we know God has to intervene to bring about truth and understanding and the blessing of the understanding and obedience to God's way that mankind needs in order to be in God's family. And what a blessing that is. So we have that unique belief in the sense of the world's perspective, that we're not going to heaven, that we're looking for God to to come to this earth and to bring about the restoration of all things. Let's turn to Matthew 24, one of the spots in the Bible where there's a lot of references to Christ's return and the peace and safety on this earth that we need to have. Let's begin in Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 7. Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences on earth, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. So there's going to come times ahead of us, as we begin to see already in the world today, when there will be trials and sufferings that are not like those that have been in the past, and it will be trial for mankind. And going on, and let's look in verse 12. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So the world today, we're beginning to see people not have natural love and affection and appreciation for one another as human beings. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then will the end come. So we know that the time is not yet, but we see the things that are coming. But do we have hope beyond that time to the future, because it is so badly needed? We understand that God will have to intervene to save us from ourselves and to bring us to a place of safety and not allow us to destroy ourselves. Let's go on in verse 21. Excuse me. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God is going to have to intervene to keep this world from total destruction. And we certainly see the potential for that today. In fact, I took a clipping out of the paper. I'd like to read some of it to you. It talks about the doomsday clock moved to 2 minutes to midnight. And Mr. Sayer talked about that, I think, in his little presentation week before last. But a Mr. Bill Tinsley in the Galveston Daily News wrote on February the 2nd, he said, last week the doomsday clock moved to 2 minutes before midnight. Midnight is the time when they project that, you know, everything will be destroyed, so to speak. He said it moved within to 2 minutes. They moved it 30 seconds back to or toward midnight. And he says, as of today, we're 2 minutes to midnight. To call the world's nuclear situation dire is to understand the danger and its immediacy. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists was formed in 1945 by the Manhattan Project scientists after the annihilation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II. Its concerns have expanded to include environmental changes and energy, emerging energy technologies. So he's calling out the fact that things on the world scene are indeed being looked at as dire. He goes on to say, I'm skipping part of this article, but just reading parts of it, while the scientists predict a new prediction or new, the destiny of life on earth is not. So we have been able to read the Bible for a long time and understand what God says here in Matthew 24 and 21. And then there will be great tribulation and the possibility of mankind actually destroying itself unless he would intervene. The Bible has predicted our fate for millennia. Jesus said, for then there will be great tribulation, just what I read, until the time, nor ever will be, is what I was trying to say. But going on, skipping down another paragraph, but there is a difference. While many see little hope for mankind, or human survival, the Bible sees the end time as an open door to the future. Jesus said, and then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in the sky with great, or with power and great glory. So we understand that God is going to intervene with real power and glory and put an end to man's destructive nature. Going on in verse 30 in that same chapter of Matthew 24, it says, then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with glory. So we see salvation is ahead for mankind. And despite the dire circumstances that are seen in the world today, they realize that there is hope. Or we realize that there is hope. The world today really is a mess. I don't know, like talking to the choir, so to speak. But nation still against nation. There's still war in destinations around the earth. The potential for total annihilation of the planet is still increasing. More and more nations are becoming nuclear in their power and in their ability to destroy. There's still hatred and abuse. Disease and sicknesses are continuing. And the downward spiral of morale among people is certainly increasing. We can see that very much in our nation today. The morals of people are going down. And it's destroying families and making it worse. Businesses are abusing others in their care. And destruction of the environment continues to be a thing that we see, and it's causing problems as well. So all of these things make the doomsday choice or clock moves a part of reality as the world looks at it. They feel that this is the destiny that we're on unless we make changes. Will the world make the changes that it needs to make? We as God people are blessed to understand that that probably will not happen. That God has said otherwise, that he will intervene. Sends his son Jesus Christ back to this earth to bring peace and happiness and joy for all mankind. So God warns us in his word about these terrible conditions at the end of the age, that despite all of the sins and the sufferings, God does give us hope. We're looking to the future, just like we planned for this year, for the future. We're looking with hope beyond that time of tribulation to what God has promised for his people. For the elect's sake, he will intervene and we will be with him in his kingdom at that time. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let's look at verse 6. First Corinthians 2 and verse 6. This punishment which is inflicted by them, I don't believe that's the right one. Now I'm in 2 Corinthians, no wonder. That won't work. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor are the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So this world does not understand, as we talked about earlier, the reality of what God's plan is and the hope that is ahead. the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So we have that hope, that encouragement, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So those that are looking forward to his appearing, his return, his rulership or leadership. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So those of us that have been blessed to have God's Spirit are able to understand these things and see them in the proper perspective, knowing that indeed God is in charge and he gives us hope for the future. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8, let's look at verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18 says, for I consider that the suffering of the present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this is what we're looking at today. We're looking at what God has promised and what will take place in the future. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the saints, or the sons of man, the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will deliver from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of the body. So God says that we are blessed to have this understanding and this privilege to know the truth and look forward to Christ's return and his government being established here on earth. So we have hope through the knowledge of God's plan. You know, God's Holy Day plan is a miraculous revelation to those of us that understand it. It is tremendous because you can see what God's plan is from the very beginning all the way through the creation, until he returns and his kingdom is established and we are indeed members of his family, born into his family as members of God's family to share eternity with him. So what an awesome blessing the Holy Day plan is. And the Feast of Trumpets pictures this time that I'm talking about today, the return of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring peace and safety to all mankind. Back in Matthew again, in verse 28, in verse 16, I won't read it. It's talking about the commission to the church to go to the whole world. We as God's people that have been blessed to have this understanding are to be those that support proclaiming that good news to the world as instruments in God's hands to do that. We saw Mr. Kylo on the video expounding the PCD department, that indeed we are answering questions of those that are interested. And we're interested in doing God's work, supporting God's work, looking to the future, having those come along and be a part of God's plan that God does come. So what a blessing it is to be a part of this work, to work through the church and with the church and in the church, the body of Jesus Christ, effectively proclaiming the good news of the coming kingdom. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Romans 10, let's look at verse 14. Romans 10 and verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they do not know or believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So we're looking to the good things, the future. And we want those glad tidings to be made possible or made known as God intends to the world, as a warning and as a witness and as a calling to those that God would choose at the time. So we're blessed to be a part and have this responsibility to look forward and support the work, praying for it, encouraging one another and helping one another as we go forward day by day. So as Christ's servants, we're called to do our part, and we are to demonstrate, we look forward to and love Christ appearing. So all of this speaking I've done so far, I'm to the point where I wanted to say, so this afternoon, what are we going to do? I would like to emphasize that some of the things we should be doing to show that we love God's appearing, his son coming to this earth, and the good news that Christ is to return and to fulfill God's purpose. So what should we be doing to emphasize that we love God's appearing, that we want to support the body of Jesus Christ? The first thing I latched on to as I thought about this, of course, is we need to be praying for God's kingdom to come with urgency and a desire, really understanding the need for the time to come, for this to take place. We can go back to the model of prayer, and I won't turn there, but for time's sake. But there in Matthew 6, verse 7 through 13, the model of prayer where Christ gives us the way to pray, the outline for prayer, where he says, your kingdom come and your will be done. We're to be praying for that with a zeal and an enthusiasm and a desire for that time to take place. Because we see the suffering and the sorrow and the heartache and the problems that exist in the world today. So this should be one of the first things that we do continuously as we go forward this year. Being sure that we don't forget to pray with fervor for God's kingdom to come. We see those sorrows and the sufferings around us. All you have to do is look at the news at 5:30 or 6 or whatever time it's on, 10:30 in your area. You certainly know that there are many things that need to be corrected in this world today. People don't have hope. They have problems. And there is frustration. God intends that there be a world of peace and happiness, and that the world learn that way so they can be in his family, in his kingdom. Back in Acts, the 3rd chapter, Acts 3, we come to the heart of the matter where it says in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted. So that's what God desires for all mankind to do. And we've been in the process of changing and growing since our calling. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And we know that that is the case, that God, through the prophets, has talked about Jesus Christ. When you really start looking at the scriptures, the world does not have an excuse for not believing that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth. There are over 100 scriptures, I know for sure, that relate directly to the return of Jesus Christ. As I began to put this together and look at it, I think in the New Testament, I found 48 scriptures alone that relate to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up God's kingdom. So we see that the abundance of information is available, but the people don't even have the inclination or desire because they haven't been taught. They haven't been given the opportunity yet to understand the truth and understand God's word and what is revealed there for the world. It says, repent and be converted. So that's to be our example. We're to be converted. We're to be changed. We're to walk in Jesus Christ's steps, in his way, the same way that he walked. In the restoration, God will demonstrate that his laws and ways work for our good. And we're demonstrating that today. We have learned that if we obey God's laws, it's a blessing. The world doesn't understand that. And they will, when they come to his kingdom, they will understand that God's ways work. They're good for us, and they will indeed be the standard for the family of God. You know, all of us will have seen the results of sin when we talk about the world, when they're brought into God's world tomorrow. They will see the results of sin and the failures of mankind, because man will have been on the brink of total destruction, and God will have pulled them out and saved them. So they will see how God has intervened for them and the result of sin and the failures of mankind, and being more inclined to cast their eyes in the way that God intends for them to go, and open their minds to the truth, the ability to choose the right way. That's good news. That's good news. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we read about Abraham. Hebrews 11, and let's look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out and to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he waited for the city which he, its foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he had that perspective. He had that focus on the future and what God was doing to drive him and motivate him to go forward. And we know in Revelation 21, it talks on about the future of that time beyond Revelation 21 and 1, where it talks about a new heavens and a new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven for God to dwell with mankind on this earth. So should not only we be praying for God's kingdom to come, but what do we need to be doing? What is one of the other things we need to be doing? We need to be watching. God warns us as his servants that we need to watch. So the second thing that I'd like to emphasize is, are we watching? It's not to be taken lightly. You know, we used to play hide and seek when I was a little kid. I don't play that anymore. But I grew up during the war time, and a long time ago. And we'd get out at that time, we could get out on the street at night, and all the kids in the neighborhood would get together, and then we'd all gather together, and then we'd start the game and say, you know, I'll start counting to 20, and when I get to 20, I'm coming, ready or not. And so everybody, they would holler when they got to 20, coming, ready or not. Jesus Christ has told us, God has told us, I'm coming, ready or not. But we need to be watching and ready. God warns us. He tells us to watch and be ready, meaning be close to God, be close to one another, be fulfilling what God intends in our lives. So he's coming, ready or not. Let's look at, excuse me, I think I'm going to have a sip of water. Luke 21. Verse 34. Says in verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So here's a warning to those that are called by God, set apart as first fruits, to be watchers, to be watching what is going on today. We see the doomsday clock, we see these physical things, but are we watching ourselves as well? The way that we conduct our lives. So take heed to yourselves, watch yourselves, your priorities, what you're longing for, what your desires are, your purpose for life, and what God is doing. You know, the signs of the time are becoming more and more relevant today. We see more and more happening that is evident that they are beginning to be fulfilled. Seeing the signs of the time all come together. False teaching being abounding in the world today, in the Christian area. So many things that are not true about the way that Christ would have us live and be. Let's look in Luke 21 again, and let's look instead this time at verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. This is Christ speaking. Look at the fig tree and all of fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and you know for yourselves the summer is nearer. So you also, when you see the things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, generation will not by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts become weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell upon the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things and to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we're blessed to have that understanding and know that Jesus Christ is indeed coming to this earth, and he has given us the need to watch and to care for God's calling and the purpose that we're called to fulfill. The Bible is full of those scriptures, as I've mentioned already, that we need to have in our hearts and minds so that we know for sure in our hearts that God is going to fulfill his return as promised. In Matthew 24, again, and let's this time look at verse 42. It says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief was to come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom the master and the ruler over the house, the household, to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing." So we need to be doing what God has told us, watching and putting into practice God's ways, God's laws, God's plan and purpose in our hearts and minds. The third thing I think is required that we demonstrate is that we grow and continue to grow in grace and in knowledge. Not stagnate, not be indifferent, not be just waiting, but being active, willing to participate and be involved in God's calling. Just look at 2 Peter, the third chapter. Let's look at verse 10. It says in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." So that's our calling. That's our commitment, to be without spot and blameless before God, because we've repented of our sins. We've trusted God. We're looking to him. We're seeking to fulfill his calling and his purpose. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know these beforehand, beware lest you also fall under your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of wickedness, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So what an exhortation that is, that we are to be trusting God completely in that way. Peter is seeking to stir our minds about what will happen during the time of his intervention, and trying to keep us from falling away, being discouraged, giving up. Satan wants us to be confused and to not follow God's example, Jesus Christ's example that he set for us. He tries to do things that will keep us from going forward the way we should, having the hope that we need to have and looking for the future, not being discouraged about what we see around us. You know, God is giving us new opportunities day by day to learn and practice His way, to grow in that grace, that knowledge, to demonstrate that we understand His plan and we desire to change. We desire to be more like Jesus Christ and to be in His family. You know, one of the things that we do every year, of course, is go through the Passover. And one of the things that's necessary for us to do is to look in that spiritual mirror. The mirror is there for us to evaluate ourselves, not just in physical activity of what we've done, but also spiritually, of course. It's a spiritual mirror that we're looking at. Mr. Armstrong used to say, you know, there are only two ways of life. One's the get way or the give way. And that's the summarization of God's interpretation from His Word. Either you produce those things or the get way for yourself, or you participate in those things that are the give way. Concern for others and outgoing concern for God's way of life and His purpose. So if we looked at some of the mirror, we looked in the mirror and we saw that we were sharing and loving and outgoing towards others, we would be considering ourselves in the give way. But if we tend to be selfish and self-centered and fearful, we would be in the give mode. If we're open and not guarded, we're in a give mode. If we're assured and not anxious and fearful, I would say that we're in the give way. If we're trusting, encouraging others, and not suspicious and always critical, then we would be in the give way. We're interested in others. You know, the golden rule in Matthew 7:12 says that we're to fulfill God's law by giving and sharing and having love and outgoing concern for others, doing unto them as you would have them do to you. Do we have that attitude, that frame of mind? Are we sincere, or are we manipulative in our approach? Do we let lust and pride direct our thoughts and actions? When we have an opportunity to show mercy, do we show mercy? Are we vengeful? Are we joyful? Just not always somber and downcast. God's way is a way of love and outgoing concern which produces happiness and joy. Are we supportive and not controlling? Are we encouraging to others that we would desire to help them in their problems and their needs? So we want to learn God's way. We want to grow in those things. And so we need to plan to look this year, as we look to the future, to look in that spiritual mirror and really evaluate ourselves and see if we can go forward with the attitude of the golden rule in our hearts and minds, outgoing concern for others, so that we do no harm to others, but encourage and strengthen them. In John, the 13th chapter, John 13, verse 34. Verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And that is the bottom line of what God wants us to understand, that we need to have love one for another, fulfill God's purpose of give in our hearts and minds, sharing, being encouraging and strengthening others, by this outgoing love for one another, people will know that we're his disciples and that we're fulfilling the encouraging thing of growing and overcoming. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 4, we begin reading. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that the day should overtake you as a thief. So we are not in darkness. We understand what God is doing and that he is going to return to this earth. So we're to look forward to that time. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, drink at night, or drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with him. So we're called to this purpose and for that purpose in our lives. In John, 1 John 2, in verse 15, we read, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world and the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we have that encouragement that God is giving us to not allow the world to influence us to give or get way, but to be willing to change and be like Christ in the give way. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have assured of, knowing from whom you have learned these things. And that from a childhood you have known that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God has equipped us for every good work, to remember these things and to understand that we have hope, that we have a promise of God intervening on our behalf and helping us to be helpers of others in the future. So in summary, I'd like to say we have the call now here, and we've been blessed, and our minds open to the truth, to understand what God is doing and what he's doing with us, and that we need to look forward to that time when God will reign through Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So let's look forward to that time and demonstrate that we love his appearing by being willing, number one, to be fervent in our prayers that God's kingdom would come, and to watch world conditions and our spiritual readiness. And number three, to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of all God's ways.